Coming up at 1:40, we're going to do a family dance party, taking it back to Club Culture Shift. Because I just discovered this cover of a Detroit classic that I have to play you, and we'll pair that with some other fun stuff that's going to get you up, get you moving, and get you grooving into the weekend. But first, let's focus on some really fantastic local music that was recorded here at Studio A at WDET. Detroit singer-songwriter Ali Gaeto is having a big moment this weekend. The long-awaited release of her debut album. It's called Hoping for More. Like many albums, the record release was delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But Gaeto says it's been well worth the wait, calling the experience a lesson in patience. She performs songs from the new album live in studio for us ahead of her record release show, happening tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, at Otis Supply in Ferndale, which is such an underrated, intimate venue. Definitely check it out if you haven't been there before. Culture Shift's Amanda LeClaire spoke with Ali in studio. Let's go ahead and check this out.
Ali, welcome back to Culture Shift.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so this is very exciting. You were in studio here way before the pandemic, 2019. I mean, it's been a while and a lot has changed, I'm assuming, since then for you as an artist. I'd love to just kind of get an overview from your perspective of where you've come from on your journey as a musician since 2019.
Ooh, that's a large question. When I was last here, I was sort of at the very beginning stages of recording this record that's going to be out on Friday, doing like the pre-production rehearsals with the band and sort of making the plan in my little notebook. And we were in studio a little bit in November of 2019, January 2020, and then March 2020, we hit like the last kind of note that we played, which was extremely lucky, to be honest, because then everything shut down and the world became a sea of question marks. And since then, it's really been an exercise in patience, I think, in terms of artistry and truly being alone in a very like deep sense of the word, which I think many of us, if we take a second to remember like winter between 2020-2021, was, I think, a very introspective time for me. And for this particular record, it was sort of while it was getting mixed behind the scenes and I was sort of moving forward with that. But now I've written this whole new collection of songs, too, that has come from that time. So it'll be interesting to see once those are recorded, the differences between that work.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but when I think back on that time and even now, like I've never gone back to normal or haven't gone back to what I was doing before. And those were some pretty dark days and dark months. But I want to know if you feel this way, but I wouldn't necessarily trade them because I've grown as a person so much. And I'm curious if you feel like as an artist, were you reaching into deeper parts of yourself? Were you covering new themes that you hadn't before?
Yeah, that you can't see on the radio, but I was nodding my head very vigorously about that. I do think that there are just places that you uncover when you sit by yourself and like have no one else to answer to. I've written, I think, some of my best songs to date since I've recorded this album. So I love all these songs and I'm so excited about them. And I'm also in some ways excited to get this out and that so that will clear a path for these new songs to make their way through. And the themes in Hoping for More, it's all written from 19 to 29. It's all a lot about relationships with other people and figuring out how I feel about myself in that way. And then obviously 2020, 2021, it suddenly became, how do I feel about myself when no one else is around? And in terms of lyrical content, at least, that's really like a been a shift in what my focus is.
Wow. Yeah. So it really affected you as a songwriter. As far as your performances or the way you perform or what you bring to yourself to the stage, has that changed?
Oh, totally. I barely have performed in the past few years. I'm also just really still quite COVID cautious. and try to minimize my risk as much as possible, which I think is really difficult when you're in the live music world. I've ended up missing a lot of shows and feeling a bit pulled back from the community aspect of music making. And I almost could describe, I feel like I've been a little like hermit living in a shack, and I'm gradually emerging and trying to reconnect with all my friends. And there's been some shifts in who I've been playing with, and that always changes any sort of dynamic. Each player approaches music in a slightly different way. So the sound of the full band has also evolved just by the merit of having new people involved too.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is your debut album, Hoping for More is the title of it, and it is out digitally now. There's going to be a release show happening at Otis Supply, the Parliament Room at Otis Supply. That is a great place to see a show, Saturday, August 27th, doors at 7. And you'll be playing with White Bee, I want to say, mm-hmm. Perpetual Care and Pia. Perpetual Care performing is Tuffy, though.
Oh, yeah, they've changed their name. So, yeah, it's now Tuffy, which I really love. I always want to do the like arm strength emoji now.
Let's get into some music from it. What do you want to play for us first?
Sure. I'm going to actually shake things up and start with the last track from the record. This is False Hope.
Why do you keep coming round, even when you know it's done? Why do you keep floating down a river that's already run dry? How can you stay standing up when I'm falling to my knees? How can you keep talking tough when you know cause nothing says I love you like false hope. Nothing is so easy to see through and hard to let go. Nothing feels so much like a cruel joke. But if you can't love me, you can go. Where did you think I could hide? You were always in the room. Why would I cover my eyes? Says I love you like false hope. And nothing is so easy to see through and hard to let go. Nothing feels so much like a cruel joke. But if you can't love me, you can go. Someone teach me a lesson here. I'm getting it wrong, it seems. I fall every year for the same song, and he sing for me, but he won't ever leave. And he knows nothing says I love you like false hope. And nothing is so easy to see through and hard to let go. Nothing feels so much like a cruel joke. But if he can't love me, he can go.
It was beautiful.
Thanks.
Absolutely gorgeous. Do you want to talk about where that song came from?
Oh, yeah. I was in my sort of late teens, early 20s in this never quite on again, never quite off again thing with a friend who I was in love with, and he knew and I knew he knew. And it was just this circular sort of thing where every little moment that I thought, maybe this is it. Maybe he'll fall back in love with me. And it never actually was that. And it felt at times like there was some sort of cruelty of like, why are we maintaining this close friendship if it'll never be what I want it to be? Which is sort of where the space where the song came from. But it's funny, now I've grown and can sort of see that mindset it's just not how I would approach something like that now. But I do still think it holds true that nothing does say I love you like false hope, really wanting to believe that person feels the way that you do.
Well, I think the interesting thing about this album, this is your debut album coming out, and at least when, you know, when our own Jeff Milo spoke to you earlier this year in January when you released your first single from the album, the songs on this album are a decade of your life or so. More.
It's true. It's I feel like I'm sort of a slow bloomer in terms of recording, or late bloomer, whatever that the phrase is. I feel like I, in this sort of age of TikTok too, or Twitter, where I feel like people in their early 20s are losing their mind about hitting 30 and you feel so ancient about it. And I had this thing recording this at 28, 29. I turned 29 in the studio that November of 2019. And I had this urgency of it, of, you know, it's already so late for me. 29 is so late to put out a debut album. And then, you know, I just, 2020 happened, and it couldn't come out the way I'd envisioned it. And now I have to sit with myself in my 30s and really feel that patience in a different way. And sort of, it feels too like I'm taking my younger self and kind of giving her the chance to be in the world the way I had wanted at the time. There are some of these songs, yeah, I was maybe as young as 18 writing a few of these tracks on the record. And I feel like now she's getting that recognition that she was so desperate for, even though there's a bit of an irony in that I'm not as desperate anymore for it. And now it's finally recorded and in the world.
That's it's a bit Zen or a bit Buddhist or a bit something like that, you know, like you don't get the thing when you really want the thing. And then finally, when you get the thing, it's okay. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there. And it's just a beautiful, you know, sort of gift to the world. I kind of think of it like that. Sure. You know, what you just said there, we had Natasha T. Miller, who hosted our Science of Grief podcast in last year, do a performance. And she performed a piece where it was really literally a letter to her younger self. And about, you know, reaching back through that time and space and, you know, taking that person you were by the hand and like leading them forward. And I thought it was such a beautiful way to think about performers and artists and writers, like helping out their younger self in a way.
Definitely. And every time I perform these songs now, whether it's in front of an audience or just at home to practice, I do feel this sort of full circle of being that person I was at the time a tiny bit, because you have to be when you're performing. You have to tap into all the emotions that you were feeling when you were writing the song. And yet there have been songs that I've been in the process of writing them and then started crying because I was so overcome with emotion, and because the process of writing allowed me to clarify to myself what was going on, where things might have been lying in my unconscious and I'm writing lyrics down and suddenly taken aback of, oh, that's how I really feel. That's what's going on for me. And I think now, you know, some of these songs being 10 years old, that is enough distance and time where I can tap into that emotional place without being overwhelmed by it, which is really freeing, to be honest.
Mm. You know, we've talked a lot about the songwriting process and performing, but I'm kind of curious, were there any, the pandemic, when we all had to kind of go inward for a little bit and spend less time with people and the folks we were doing before, were there anything technical about being a musician or any particular instrument that you wanted to learn, or, you know, something different that you felt like, oh, this is a chance for me to go all in and try this out?
Totally. I mean, one of my favorite things was I did this song a day practice. I went to music school in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I still got some connections out in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and a songwriter pal who was once a teacher and now a friend reached out to me and said, you know, we're doing this. Do you want in? We're going to write a song every single day. No excuses. Just get something down. It can be bad if it needs to be. And I have always been quite a perfectionist. And so the challenge of just recording something every day really forced me to to change the way I approached music writing. And the other thing was, too, is that we all uploaded them into a little Google Drive and everybody could hear what you were writing. So there wasn't any, oh, I did truly write this bad song, but nobody has to hear it. It was like, nope. There's a team of 10 people who are going to know I wrote this terrible song. And it's fine. We all are doing it. And I think that really, it made me relax somehow about songwriting a little bit and approach it differently. Instead of waiting too for divine inspiration to strike, you know, you just have to sit down every day and do it, which is classic age-old songwriting or any kind of writing advice. But for some reason, I never took it until I had to sit alone by myself all the time.
Well, I think maybe, you know, like when you are younger, when you're in your early 20s or in your 20s in general, like it does feel like everything you do has to be perfect because, to be frank, you haven't really done a lot of stuff at that point, right? So the bar is so high. And, getting older, you just have the benefit at least of like, oh, I've just done this thing, or I've done a million of these things, like being on the radio. I've done a million interviews. Okay, that one was bad. Okay, well, that's okay. Moving on, you know?
Totally. And the bad songs are where the good songs come from at the end of the day. I mean, I think about the songs I was writing at 15, 16, and, you know, now the word cringe is very in, but oh boy, that was very applicable back then too. But I wouldn't, without doing all of the bad songwriting, I would never have stumbled upon anything good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to play another for us? Yeah,
totally. Let's do Out of This. This is the most recent single that came out.
Told me it was all in my head. The things you said were just jokes I couldn't get. So I started listening to you, tried to change my tune to something you'd respect. Get me out of this, let me out of this. You paint yourself the saint and then you tell me I'm the sin. Get me out of this, let me out of this. I've got people on the outside and I think they're looking in, telling me to start again. Each day a new wall closes in. You start to convince me the lights dim on their own. And I feel myself getting sicker every time they flicker. I dull my own glow. Get me out of this, let me out of this. You paint yourself the saint and then you tell me I'm the sin. Get me out of this, let me out of this. I've got people on the outside and I swear they're looking in, telling me to start again. And maybe it's all in my mind. I hear all the time how I could just go. But it's hard to explain to others the ways I'm smothered each time you blow smoke. Get me out of this, let me out of this. You paint yourself the saint and then you tell me I'm the sin. Get me out of this, let me out of this. I've got people on the outside, I can see them looking in, telling me to start again.
We're live in studio here with Detroit musician Ali Gaetto, talking about her debut album, Hoping for More. It is out now digitally and streaming. You can catch her playing tomorrow night, Saturday, August 27th at Otis Supply. Doors are at 7 o'clock. She'll be performing with White Bee, Tuffy, and Pia. Allie, that was another gorgeous track. Oh my gosh. Have you ever had anyone cry at your shows?
I actually made stickers that say Allie Gaetto made me cry. It is an ongoing joke that I've never actually seen the tears themselves, maybe because of the way the lights are, but I have heard from others that, tears have occurred. Mm.
You know, you said earlier, you know, this album, so some of the songs here are written in the time of the pandemic when you were thinking about the different relationships in your life. And you can really hear it in that one. As you've gotten older, as you've matured as both a person and a songwriter, has the way you write about love and friendship gotten more complex?
I think I've always really been into the complexities of any type of relationship. I, at the beginning of songwriting, really thought a lot about just your standard pop song, which is written for the widest audience, which makes sense. You kind of write the clearest that you can about what love is, and it's sort of, oh, baby, baby, you're so great, come here. Or like, oh, no, you broke my heart, this is so terrible. And it feels like there are so many spaces in between those polarities. And I've always been really curious about those. I think on my debut EP, there's a song about being in love with your best friend's fiance and sleeping around behind her back. And it's fictional. I mean, this, you know, out of this is fictional too in its way. Like, it's not about me necessarily. I was just trying to inhabit a space and understand a relationship, like a relationship dynamic that was difficult for me looking into. And so instead of writing it as the person that I was, which is the person on the outside looking in, I was trying to write it as the person who was trapped inside. And I think those sorts of turning things on their head in writing is also really interesting to me, to write as a character or to place myself just slightly outside of myself. Because that, it builds some sort of empathy and, it's just sometimes easier too to write when it's not about me directly, even though everything is about me because it comes from me. I don't know exactly how to explain it.
For sure. No, yeah. I think I understand. Yeah. You know, we talk to folks, artists, about who inspires them within their own medium and everything. But I'm kind of curious if you say this passion and really interest in the complexity of human relationships, are there authors or specific movies or other kinds of forms of art that you draw inspiration from for your songs?
Ooh, this is difficult because I feel like every time I'm asked a question that's like, what's your favorite book? I'm like, can I get a list? Can I like write things out? And two, during the pandemic, I mean, I don't know if anyone else has experienced pandemic-induced memory loss, but for some reason, my brain has not been on total recall in the past 2 years, in terms of like even things I really love. So I know that there are things definitely that have inspired me, but it's so hard to pull the names out of the bag. I mean, I remember reading The House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende and seeing the way that family kind of grew over the course of generations was so fascinating to me that you could do that in a novel. I don't think I'd ever read anything quite like that. I also really loved as a teenager the Michel Gondry film The Science of Sleep, which I don't even know how I found it or saw it, but I was so fascinated by the concept of dreams and lucid dreaming, and it was so amazing to see the way that they created this dream world. And the main relationship in the film too is a person who's in love with someone else who just sees them as a friend, but they have this like lovely friendship, and I think I really quite related to that as well. Mm-hmm. And to see it handled not as a rom-com, you know, not a meet cute, and then you somehow find yourself bickering and then you're in love. It was this other totally different thing that was so tender and sweet and still didn't have a happy ending. Mm. Which I thought was really beautiful.
Mm. Speaking of Michel Gondry, did you see Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I'm guessing?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay, so do you feel like that movie had a happy ending?
I can't remember how it ended. I can only remember the one image of them laying in the snow. I mean, I saw it as a teenager, probably at 1 a.m. at somebody's in someone's basement like you do in Michigan. And so, yeah, I should rewatch it, though. I'm sure that it has stayed in my subconscious somewhere. I do think the Manic Pixie Dream Girl iconography, or whatever you want to call it. What is it? The Manic Pixie Dream Girl trope really had me in a chokehold from like 15 to like 18. I was like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to dress really weird. I'm going to be so quirky and interesting. And then I realized suddenly, like, oh, this is kind of uncomfortable and I'm not quite sure what I'm doing this for.
I think it affected a whole generation of people too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'm not alone. We were all out there trying to be as twee as we could be.
Oh, man. We're in studio with Ali Gaetto here on Culture Shift. She will be releasing her debut album, playing a show tomorrow night and Saturday, August 27th at Otis's Supply Parliament Room. Doors are at 7. You can get more tickets. Get tickets at the door as well. She'll be performing The White Bee, Tuffy, and Pia. And her debut album, Hoping for More, is out now digitally. Ali, you know, I want to wrap up with another song here, but I'm just kind of curious, you know, from your perspective as a local musician, as someone who is, you know, obviously releasing a new album, out there performing and all these things, how can audiences best support local music right now?
Oh, man. I just had this conversation with my grandmother, which I found was so charming, where I was trying to explain to her how to stream my record when it comes out. And she was like, I don't get this Spotify thing. I don't really like it. I just want to figure out how can I just give you the money? And I went, oh, Grandma, it's Bandcamp. and that if an artist that you love has Bandcamp, buy their music there. And if they have the option to pay more, pay more. It's great. Buying merch is great. It's really for so many of us in the world now. I mean, everyone is feeling the pressure. I don't want to end up on another NPR show talking about inflation, but it really is so important to be supported financially. And then, of course, like, social media runs the game. I have many a thought about that if you want to DM me. But, you know, following people, liking people, doing all that kind of stuff does help make the algorithm show their music to other people. And directly just sharing links to your friends, I think, is the best thing, actually. Like, if you like a song of mine, text it to your buddy and make them like it too.
Yeah. All right, what do you want to wrap up with here?
I'm going to pick one that I think will sort of a hidden gem on the record. This is Brave Face.
Music from Ali Gatto live in studio here at WDET on Culture Shift. You can catch her tomorrow night, Saturday, August 27th at Otis Supply in Ferndale for the debut, the release of her debut album called Hoping for More. Get some tickets for the show. You can get them at the door, get them beforehand, and go to otissupply.org.
It's definitely at AudioTree. AudioTreePresents.com?
AudioTreePresents.com. We'll have a link up on our site here. All right. Thank you, Ali.
Thank you so much.
And you heard that performance here on WDET. No one gives a platform to local performers like Culture Shift does. It was such a pleasure to have Ali Gatto here in studio with us. And you can see her live this weekend over at Otis Supply in Ferndale. Should be a really fantastic show. I am sure there will be tickets at the door.